Welcome to Reliving the War, episode 61, and thanks for joining me as we look back at more episodes of WWF Raw and WCW Nitro. It's the 9th of December 1996. WCW Nitro is live tonight in Charlotte, North Carolina, while the WWF continues to show taped matches and promos from New Haven, Connecticut. The WWF's going to present In Your House It's Time later in the week, and remember, I'm covering that whole pay-per-view in a separate upload, so make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss out. And if you really can't wait, you can watch it right now on my Patreon page. Alright, let's take a look at the first 60 minutes of Monday Nitro and get this show started. Nitro kicked off this week with an appearance from Roddy Piper, the first of three appearances he'll make inside the ring tonight. The Hot Rod was very vocal here, and man, sometimes it feels like the Hot Rod had absolutely no filter once he started talking. I absolutely love it. Piper talks about living in Charlotte and how good it is to be home. He has a bit of fun when he says he has six kids, so he needs to win this match at Starrcade against Hogan. And Piper talks about the most shameful thing he ever done in his whole career, and that was boxing Mr. T at WrestleMania 2, saying he was told to take a dive, and when he said no, his boxing gloves were given extra padding so he wouldn't hurt the actor. Piper insinuates that he lost the Mania 2 match because he was told to do so, and he says he'll never do that again. Piper says he has nothing against the New World Order, he has nothing against WCW, he's Roddy Piper and he fights on his own. But the Hot Rod does want to point out that he saw a promo with the New World Order and he saw six guys or so, all dressed in leather, they were all drinking champagne and not one female was in sight. Yeah. Piper then calls out Hollywood Hogan for a fight before the bagpipes begin playing. Roddy ends his promo by saying what doesn't kill him makes him stronger. And yeah, good stuff here, a good promo to open up Nitro. Mike Enos vs Michael Wall Street was up next in the illustrious Battle of the Mics. Ted DiBiase showed up about a minute into the match holding a contract. Enos gets distracted, Wall Street hits the stock market crash, and DiBiase hands the contract to Wall Street. It looks like old Diamond Hands here might be joining the New World Order. The cat is finally out of the bag when we see some footage from WCW Saturday Night. Woman recorded a video message for Kevin Sullivan where she says, she's not at her mother's, she's not in the Keys, and she's not in the Bahamas. She tells Kevin that she's leaving him and not even the Taskmaster can find out where she and Chris Benoit currently are. Chris Benoit then says that the bishop has taken his queen, as it's made completely clear that Benoit and Woman are an item. What's interesting here is that Woman and Benoit would begin a real life relationship, and it all started through this angle on WCW television. So Kevin Sullivan somehow managed to book his own real life divorce, Booker of the Year credentials there. Hugh Morris then defeated the Renegade. It was a short match, Morris won with his no laughing matter moonsault, nothing more to say. Kevin Sullivan then shows up and he's absolutely furious. He tells Tony Schiavone that the tape that just aired featuring Woman and Benoit was private and it shouldn't have been put on TV. Kevin says he has a real life outside of the ring and his personal issues shouldn't be used to draw ratings. Sullivan says that the video that just aired seriously affected someone he has to take care of, and any tapes of this nature should be given to Sullivan before they air on television. Keep in mind that this is the same motherfucker who, not too long ago, was taking orders from the master while drinking steamy beers in a cave that had no Hulkamaniacs. Kevin Green showed up on Nitro and he hasn't forgotten about that dastardly Steve Mongo McMichael. Green says he'll be back during the offseason to kick Mongo's ass, and Kevin says if he ever gets a shot at Hulk Hogan, he would rename him to Choking Hogan because Hulk would be choking on Green's big, massive fist. His cyber fist. Jimmy Graffiti vs Dean Malenko was up next and Sonny Ono showed up during the match, acting like a tourist while taking photos of Malenko. Dean wins the match, and afterwards Dean says he's coming for Ultimo Dragon at Starrcade. Sonny Ono gets interviewed by Mean Gene Okerlund and Ono forgets to put on his Asian accent. Gene calls him out and Sonny says if he speaks with an accent he gets free education, free money, and a free house courtesy of the good old USA. Ono isn't worried about Malenko at Starrcade because Dragon has the J crown while Dean only has one belt. The promo ends with Ono waving a little American flag. The Nasty Boys took on the Faces of Fear next and the Outsiders appeared on the ramp during the matchup. And it ended when the Barbarian hit Brian Knobbs with Jimmy Hart's megaphone. The cameras completely missed the finish. All in all, a great first 60 minutes of Nitro. WCW gets the unopposed point this week. Raw opens up with a hype video for tonight's Mankind vs. Undertaker main event, and we also get a disclaimer before going to the arena. I will be keeping an eye out for this action of a graphic nature. We have got a Ric Flair and Roddy Piper promo up next on WCW Nitro, while the World Wrestling Federation start things off with the Triple H vs. Psycho Sid champion vs. champion match. Psycho Sid launches an attack during Hunter's entrance, and the future King of Kings takes a beating on the rampway. When the action gets in the ring, Hunter gets pummeled in the corner. Jim Ross says Sid is sending a message to Bret Hart as the WWF champ hits a press slam on the IC champ. So far, Hemsley has done absolutely nothing. Hunter does manage to avoid a big boot, but he ends up getting pushed out of the ring for his troubles. And on the outside, Sid drops his opponent across the guardrail. As Sid continues his assault, Jim Ross announces that Shawn Michaels will provide commentary for the WWF Championship match at In Your House, It's Time. So that's going to be interesting for sure, seeing as neither Sid nor Bret have much love for the man's man, HBK Shawn Michaels. Triple H takes the Flair corner bump and he walks right into a chokeslam. Sid then hits the powerbomb, and Hunter decides to roll out of the ring to get himself counted out. I get it, make Sid look as strong as possible before the pay-per-view, but they done that here at the expense of their Intercontinental Champion, and I know people don't like Triple H, but this was some bullshit right here. No offense whatsoever from Hunter, absolute squash match. Imagine if this was WCW World Champion Hulk Hogan doing this stuff. The Hulkster would never do such things. Nature Boy Ric Flair gets a ridiculous pop from the Charlotte audience on Monday Nitro, and Slick Rick is happy to be in the Horseman's backyard tonight. Even though Kevin Green was talking smack about a horseman, Flair still bows down and he calls Green the man. Flair wants to bring out Roddy Piper, the Hot Rod comes out, and Flair says the word icon is thrown around quite a lot in wrestling, but Roddy Piper is truly an icon of the sport. Flair says Piper came to Charlotte in 1981 in a Greyhound bus, and after just a few weeks of going up and down the roads with Ric Flair, the women were calling Piper Hot Rod, and Roddy's career took off like a rocket ship. Flair says Piper has taken it upon himself to challenge Hulk Hogan, and the people of Charlotte think that Hulk Hogan sucks. Flair then tells the story of how Hulk Hogan came to WCW and he defeated Flair upon his debut. This defeat still haunts the Nature Boy, and Rick hopes that Piper can rectify that. Flair gets carried away as he tells Piper that he wants to see Hogan get his ass kicked at Starrcade, and Piper absolutely loves it. Piper says the horsemen have all said nice things to him today, but this is his last shot. He doesn't want anyone's help on December 29th, and at Starrcade, Hulk Hogan belongs to Roddy Piper. The Hot Rod tells Flair that he loves him before the promo ends, and this is an easy point for WCW Nitro. Chris Jericho takes on Bobby Eaton again on Monday Nitro next, while the WWF presents Goldust vs. Bart Gunn. Bart Gunn was robbed of the IC title when Brother Billy hit the ring, so I'm assuming Billy's going to show up during this match also. Goldust surprises Bart at the beginning of the match by throwing Goldust all over the cowboy's face, and as the Bizarre One begins his attack, the referee pretends he can't see all that glitter over Bart. Bart gets dropped across the top rope, and on the outside, Bart also gets dropped across the guardrail. Marlena blows smoke onto Bart while Goldust distracts the referee, and the former IC champ stops Bart from climbing back into the ring. The fight continues on the outside, where Bart tries to mount a comeback, but he gets thrown into the ring steps, and our commentary team let us know that Bret Hart will get interviewed later in the show as Goldust suplexes Bart back into the ring. Gunn manages to catch Goldust with a pin, but it only gets a two. Goldust replies with a grounded uppercut, and then we see Billy Gunn watching the match backstage. Billy says he carried Bart throughout his whole career, and he's going to whip him all the way back to Texas. And Billy also gets upset by this chin lock that's currently getting applied by Goldust. Bart tries to fight out, but Goldust brings Bart back down with another chin lock. Ooh. Both men get to their feet. Goldust hits a snapmare, but his follow-up elbow drop misses its target. We come back from a commercial break and Goldust is wrenching down on Bart. Gunn fights back by bringing his opponent to the corner. Bart then lands a running crossbody and Goldust takes a bulldog that only gets Gunn a two count. Goldust gets hit with a back body drop and Bart goes upstairs. Gunn goes for a twisting crossbody, but Goldust moves out of the way and Gunn begins selling his knee. And you want to know how this one ends? With a chop lock. Goldust lands a fucking chop lock and he scores the pinfall win. Billy Gunn comes out afterwards and he says this is what happens when Billy isn't around. Billy slaps Bart a little and Bart begins fighting back. Billy runs away and that's it. Gonna be honest, I was falling asleep while watching this one. The finish was poor and even after the Billy Gunn bit, Bart still looked like a total loser. Beautiful Bobby Eaton starts his match off by hitting a shoulder block on Chris Jericho and Eaton follows this up with a clothesline. Bobby isn't messing around today as he goes to the top rope and he hits a diving knee drop, but Chris kicks out at two. As Chris begins fighting back, we get a split screen interview featuring the Lionheart. Chris says he's tired of hearing about the NWO and he says the history and lineage of WCW will prevail over the evil faction. As Y2J hits a spinning wheel kick inside the ring, he talks about Nick Patrick and how Chris exposed Patrick at World War III, and Y2J says he isn't finished with the crooked ref as the promo comes to an end. Jericho hits a suplex inside the ropes and he follows this up with a lion salt. Eaton kicks out at two, and Jericho delays when getting whipped into the corner, resulting in Beautiful Bobby hitting an electric chair drop. Eaton goes upstairs again looking for the Alabama Jam, but he fails to hit Jericho. Chris replies with a superkick, and our match comes to an end when Jericho lands a missile dropkick for the 1-2-3. It was short, but still way more entertaining than Bart Gunn versus Goldust, so it's another point for Nitro. Tony Schiavone says on commentary that Dusty Rhodes said Chris Jericho is just one step away from being a massive superstar, and the future looks bright for this young man indeed. Nitro presents Arn Anderson vs. Craig Pittman next, while WWF Raw puts on that 2-on-1 match that was advertised last week, the Real Double J Jesse James vs. Bradshaw and Uncle Zebekiah. But before we all die a slow and painful death, let's check in with Todd Pettengill in the Milton Bradley Karate Fighters Tournament. Todd lets us know that it all comes to an end next Monday when Jerry Lawler battles Sable for Karate Fighters' dominance on Raw. What weapons will be selected by our esteemed superstars? All questions will be answered next week on Raw. But man, what an emotional journey this has been. I'm going to miss this tournament so much. And I just really want to thank the World Wrestling Federation and Milton Bradley for joining their corporate forces to deliver these incredible paid advertisements throughout the past few weeks. Thank you. Hello, my friend, we meet again. It's been a while, where's your wing again? Hello, my friend. Jesse James misjudges the length of time it'll take him to walk to the ring while also singing his song, so he walks back and starts over again.
Sure, got that Garth Brooks hat on. I bet they grow mushrooms under those things.
James gets in the ring and he begins taking out both of his opponents. Things are going well until he pulls off a dodgy back body drop followed by a dodgy drop kick, but his follow-up hip toss looks absolutely fine. I like how Zebekiah got a sneaky kick in, but James completely no-sold it. Dirty Dutch and JBL try to double-team the Real Double J, but James is making easy work of his two opponents tonight. And we get a reminder about the upcoming No Holds Barred match as our match continues on. Bradshaw throws Double J out of the ring. Uncle Zeb tries to get in a cheap shot, but Jesse James counters the attack. Back inside the ropes, Bradshaw brings James to the corner where the numbers game finally begins benefiting the bad guys. But it doesn't last long. James fights out of the corner and Vince McMahon says James has spunk. Not sure how Vince knows that, but moving on. Jesse James fends off another attack from Bradshaw, but a bulldog puts James back in his place, and I'm seriously struggling to care at all for this matchup. I want it to be over so bad. Zebekiah comes in and James takes a few right hands, but a kick to the chest forces Zeb to tag out again. Bradshaw comes in and it's time to teach this country singer a lesson. James takes a back suplex followed by a middle rope elbow. James shows his spunk by kicking out at two. Somehow Zebekiah can just come into the match without getting tagged in, and James pins the illegal man. Bradshaw breaks it up, Zeb's allowed to continue in the match without tagging in, and I don't know, it's a fucking mess. Zeb ends up saying, nah, I don't think so, and he tags out. Please, just end the torture. James gets thrown back into the opposition's corner, but he dodges an attack from Bradshaw. He also takes care of Zebekiah again, who by this point shouldn't even be in the match because he's done absolutely dick all. James then runs at Bradshaw, but he gets nailed with a sidewalk slam. Back to the corner for more strikes. Bradshaw sets James up for a superplex, but James counters it and he hits a diving clothesline. He gives Zeb a punch for good measure, and then Bradshaw takes another backdrop while Zebekiah takes another punch for good measure. You'd think I was lying if I said James goes for another backdrop, but no, he doesn't. Bradshaw smells it a mile off and James takes a boot to the chest, and our match finally comes to an end when Bradshaw holds Jesse in place to get whacked with Zeb's branding iron. James wins via pinfall, and I think a little bit of me died while watching this match. I hope to get it back soon. I hate to be negative, but this just wasn't good at all. After the match, Bradshaw beat Zebekiah up and Dirty Dutch got branded. Don't care. Have to be fair here also, Arn Anderson vs. Craig Pittman sounds very predictable, but it can't be worse than the match on Raw. Pittman is a heel now, I think. Just thought you'd like to know this important piece of information. Not sure if he's just healing it up for this match, or if he's completely turned, but I don't think anybody cares. Mongo and Debra come to the ring with the Enforcer. Maybe the magical briefcase comes into play during this matchup. Kevin Sullivan shows up via split screen and he says he blames all his problems on Arn Anderson. Sullivan is complaining about having some long, cold and lonely nights, and again, remember, this guy was a full-blown devil worshipper at one point. Sullivan says he may be having cold nights, but next week, and I quote, Arn is gonna heat up his life. That sounds extremely erotic, but anyway, our match begins as the crowd goes nuts for Arn Anderson. The two competitors trade waist locks before the Enforcer makes it to the ropes. Craig Pittman goes to slide in a cheeky finger, but Arn dodges it. Not today, Craig, not today. Pittman wants to test his strength against the Enforcer, but Arn hits a kick to the midsection instead. We see a few wrist locks, but again, Arn breaks Pittman's hold by grabbing the ropes. We come back from a commercial break and Pittman's in control, but it doesn't take long for Anderson to turn it around. Double A slides out of the ring while grabbing Craig's foot, and Pittman gets his knees slammed into the ring post. Mongo thinks this is great, by the way, he's having a great old time. We see one of the very worst snapmares in wrestling history. Arn then goes upstairs, but he gets thrown off the top rope. Pittman locks in the code red, but once again the Enforcer gets to the ropes and Pittman has to break his finishing hold. Arn slides out of the ring and Debra causes a distraction when Pittman follows. This allows Mongo and his magical briefcase to do a little damage, and Arn plants Craig with a DDT. Double A wins via pinfall. After the match, Mean Gene wants to ask Arn about Benoit and Woman. Arn says it seems like love is in the air and it stinks. But Debra cuts him off and, well, she completely loses the point of the promo when she begins blabbering on about how she's so intelligent and so beautiful before saying, get this, she's the most powerful horseman. I think she meant to say she was the most powerful female member of the group, but nonetheless, our main man Steve McMichael puts Arn over by saying he just beat one of the toughest wrestlers in the world tonight. I beg to differ. And the promo ends with Arn Anderson telling Benoit to come home, and as for Woman, Anderson has a bone to pick with Nancy. Another point for Nitro, Raw has been absolutely brutal so far. Bret Hart cuts a promo next on WWF Raw while the US title tournament continues on Nitro with Diamond Dallas Page taking on the fake Double J, Jumping Jesus. Jim Ross reminds Bret Hart that he could become a four-time WWF champion this Sunday at In Your House, and Hart says ever since he left the WWF after WrestleMania, all he's thought about is becoming the champion once again. Psycho Sid may be 6'9", but Bret wants that title and Sid is just standing in his way. Bret says when Sid snaps, they call him Psycho, but when Bret snaps, they're going to call him the WWF champion. Bret doesn't care how big Sid is and how bad Sid is. This Sunday, Psycho Sid will be excellently executed by the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. And that's it. Bret didn't talk about Shawn Michaels at all here, and remember, HBK is going to be at ringside for this title match at In Your House. You'd think he would have been an important part of the promo. I'm pretty happy that DDP is wrestling on the second hour of Nitro this week because it's been quite a long time since I've been able to talk about one of his matches on Reliving the War. Jarrett and Page lock up, but no one gets an advantage. They go at it again and Jarrett manages to take Page down before stepping on Dallas's back. Page sees the humor in this. They lock up again and Jarrett gets brought to the corner and the crowd pops when it looks like Page is going to give a clean break, but he gets a kick in. Page knows he's outsmarted Jarrett here and he plays up to it. Jarrett performs a headlock takedown, Page counters with a head scissors, and it looks like the friendly banter has ended as both men push each other around before locking up again. Another headlock and head scissors brings both competitors to a stalemate. Jarrett applies a hammerlock just before we take a commercial break, and when we come back, Jarrett is still in control until Page pulls off a back suplex. Dallas then hits a tilt-a-whirl sidewalk slam, but it only gets him a two count. Jarrett replies with an enziguri before doing a little strut, and Jeff hits a swinging neckbreaker that looked pretty good. These can be hit or miss sometimes with the old fake Double J. Jarrett begins using the ropes to his advantage and Dallas takes a beating. The referee has to step in a few times to tell Jeff to chill out, but Double J wants to hurt Page. And when Page finally answers with a sunset flip, Jarrett kicks out and he hits a big clothesline on the master of the diamond cutter. Jarrett nails a slingshot suplex and he follows up with a middle rope fist drop. Page continues to kick out and Jarrett continues to get frustrated. DDP has to fight his way out of the corner and he tries to mount a comeback, but Jarrett comes right back with a face crusher and it looks like Jarrett is going to go to the next round in this US title tournament. Page is having a tough time against Double J. Page finds himself in a sleeper hold and this stays locked in for quite a while. DDP eventually fights out and Jarrett finds himself taking a clothesline. Again, this makes the crowd pop. Both men are now down and the referee begins his count. The competitors make it to their feet and Dallas begins laying in lefts and rights. Page goes upstairs and he hits a diving clothesline, but Dallas ends up flying over the top rope after charging at his opponent. With Jeff in the ring all on his own, the Outsiders make an appearance. Kevin Nash distracts the referee while Scott Hall hits an Outsider's Edge on Jarrett. Page rolls back into the ring and pins Jarrett for the win. This was a good, fun TV match and it was also much needed. Another point for WCW Nitro. DDP will now go to Starrcade to face the winner of the Benoit vs Guerrero match. That match takes place in 2 weeks' time. Mean Gene gets a brief interview with Dallas afterwards and Gene wants to know about Page's relationship with the Outsiders. Page reiterates that he doesn't need the NWO's help. He wants Hall and Nash to stop trying to contact him, let Page do his own thing and Page will let the Outsiders do their own thing. Page says he stands alone and nobody wants the US title more than him at Starrcade 96. Roddy Piper is back out one more time to cut a promo on Nitro while the World Wrestling Federation presents that Mankind vs Undertaker no holds barred match. I pray to God it's good. Let's stick with Nitro. The Steiner Brothers music plays in the arena and Schiavone says we're going to see Rick Steiner vs Scott Norton in our main event, but out comes Roddy Piper instead. Roddy sets up a chair in the ring, the Hot Rod says he's tired of talking, there's going to be no main event tonight, Piper wants Hogan right now and he wants a fight. The NWO music begins playing in the arena. Out comes Eric Bischoff. Piper says stop stalling, he wants Hogan right now as Bischoff makes his way down to the ring. People are throwing all sorts of shit at Eric Bischoff. The camera cuts away from Eazy-E, but when it comes back, he's absolutely drenched. Someone definitely hit their target and I'm so annoyed we didn't get to see the prize-winning throw. Someone also tries to throw toilet paper at Eric and it just misses. Watch in super slow-mo to see how close it was. Even Piper throws some garbage at Eric when Bischoff finally reaches his destination after what looked like a grueling journey. What's pretty strange here is that Piper doesn't try to attack Eric even after trying to do so on Nitro a few weeks back and at World War 3. Bischoff says the NWO has left the arena so Piper has nothing to worry about, and Eric then admits that he tried to stop Piper from coming to WCW. Eric says he done this to protect Piper from himself. Eric goes on to say that Roddy Piper is no Hulk Hogan, and that's Starrcade. It'll be Piper who's looking up at the lights when all is said and done. Bischoff mocks Piper as he walks away, but Roddy blindsides him, and Eric is then held hostage as the NWO circle the ring. Kevin Green comes down to help Piper, the crowd goes insane, and this is how Nitro ended. That's bullshit, isn't it? Well, the WWE Network has an extended version, so let's see what happened after the show. The NWO get in the ring and Piper fights them off with his chair. AA and Mongo then come down to help Piper and Green. This is a bit weird, seeing as Green had that rivalry with Mongo going on, but anyway, the NWO end up getting out of harm's way. Bischoff says he wants to go home as Ted DiBiase brings him back through the curtain, and the NWO stand at the entranceway as Piper hugs Arn Anderson. I've been looking forward to this Mankind vs. Taker match since last week, so let's see if they can save a point for Raw. Mankind tries to sneak attack the Phenom, but the Undertaker catches Foley and Mick ends up taking a beating. We see the Undertaker's jumping clothesline, and then the Dead Man follows up with Old School as Paul Bearer looks on in disbelief. Taker then hits a chokeslam, he goes for the tombstone to end this one early, but the Executioner then runs down to the ring and Taker is forced to fight off his opponent this Sunday at In Your House. Taker chases Executioner up the ramp before we go to commercial break, and when we come back, Mankind is laying in a few rights on the outside. McMahon says Foley turned the match around during the commercials. It doesn't take long for the Phenom to take control again, and Foley gets his head rammed into the steel steps. Taker then stomps on Mankind's hand, trying to take away Foley's finishing move in the process. Taker then drops the steps on Foley's hand, and Mick does a great job of selling it. The Dead Man continues to focus his offense on the hand, but a missed big boot attempt allows Foley to capitalize and chop the big man down. Both men eventually tumble out of the ring and Taker gets thrown into the steel steps. A little fighting on the outside leads to Mick setting Taker's leg up on a chair, and Mankind dives from the apron down to the injured body part. This looked pretty good. Taker then gets thrown back into the ring, but he does all he can to buy some time. Foley tries to get in too, but Taker pushes his opponent and Foley falls hard onto the guardrail. Taker goes to the outside, remembering to sell the leg, and Mankind ends up taking a body slam on top of the Spanish announce desk. We come back from the final commercial break and Mankind again chops Taker down. Foley then goes to the top rope, but Undertaker catches Foley for a choke slam. Foley counters with a drop toe hold. Mankind then grabs a padded chair on the outside, but the Undertaker gets a boot up back inside the ring and Foley's plan totally backfires. Undertaker then goes for the tombstone once again, but Foley counters with the mandible claw. The move stays locked in for an extended period of time, but somehow Taker fights out. We then see the tombstone and it's all over. Undertaker wins. The Executioner shows up again, and there it is, the Asian Spike. I asked you guys last week what we should call this thing, and I got over 350 replies. So, the Executioner hits the final slice, Executioner hits the pizza pike, he hits the pepperoni stick, Executioner finishes Taker off with the cyber thumb, Executioner with the pizza plunge, Executioner lands the pizza-cution, Executioner with a devastating sausage choker, the pre-Umaga tickle, the dough poke of doom, the Pizza Hut cut, pizza the action, Thumbo slice, slice of pie necktie, salami screwball, and my personal favourite, the Terry Bam Bam Gordy. The Executioner here was using the Asian Spike since the very early 80s and got over huge in the territory days such as GCW and WCCW. It was also outlawed in kayfabe in a couple of territories too. It was looked upon as that dangerous. It would be very, very disrespectful if you had people renaming it in names related to pizza. Terry was an amazing wrestler who started with names like Big Cat Ernie Ladd when he was just 15 years old in 1975, and we lost him too soon as he would have been still wrestling up to recently if he were still alive. Don't disrespect his legacy like that. It isn't right, nor cool. Yes, this was a real comment. With this in mind, I'm going with the Sexecutioner's Thumb Blaster. Congrats to Monday Night Raw for finally scoring a point this week. The last match wasn't the best Taker versus Foley encounter, but it was better than Nitro's finale. Nitro destroyed Raw this week. Raw improved towards the last 15 minutes or so, but it was nowhere near enough to beat WCW. The Nitro program was pretty varied this week, and even though we had three Roddy Piper appearances, all three were still pretty entertaining. Our overall scores are 21 points to Raw, 32 points to Nitro, and we've had 8 ties. WCW Nitro continues their dominance in the television ratings, scoring a 3.3, while Raw managed a 2.3. In Your House It's Time is the next video in the Reliving the War series that gets uploaded to the channel. It'll be available later in the week. Again, if you can't wait, and if you also want to support the channel, have a look on Patreon and you can watch the video before everyone else. I hope you enjoyed today's video. Thank you so much for watching, and take care.